Blog Talk Radio.
We don't need to die.
Thank you. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. In the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, the cherisher, sustainer of all the worlds. The merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, master of the day of judgment in which we now live. Thee alone do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Please show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, those whose portion is not wrath, and those who go not astray. Amen. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, Message of Concern, Message of Serious Concern, which means, or which is indicating focusing on the removal of all images from worship that portray divine, that includes racial images, trinkets, statues, and what have you. And also the psychological effect that this image has on the minds of the world's children, which we'll be focusing on tonight, as well as some other current events and input, of course, from the guests. Appreciate your input. Just push the 1 on your receiver, and your mic will be open and you'll be brought into the queue to participate, to ask questions, to share your wisdom and knowledge with us, which is what we here on the Blog Talk Radio Show, Message of Serious Concern, it's what we intend to do each time we're on, is to share our wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the religion of Islam, religion of peace, the religion of one who turns right and keeps straight. And we bear witness that there is no God but Allah, one creator of the heavens and earth and all in between, the creator of all systems of knowledge, known and unknown, seen and unseen. The Blog Talk Radio Show is sponsored by Sister Clara Muhammad STEM School. S is for science. T is for technology. E is for engineering. And M is for math. And what I always say is, and what comes to my mind, is all of that is in El Islam. We share all of that. And we have ones who follow the religion, who believe in the religion of El Islam, the religion of peace. We have all of those individuals who hold those different degrees and holds that knowledge and is willing to share it with you in all those areas that I just named. And we also have a co-sponsor, which is Brother Yasir Muhammad. I mean Yasir Muhammad out of Los Angeles, California, who Allah bless to have a Blog Talk Radio Show. And what I mean, blessed us with to share it, this Blog Talk Radio Show with him, and speak on the message of concern and serious concern and the psychological effect that image has on the minds of the world's children, because our children have to be taught the truth. Time out for all that other false information. We live in a real world. You have to face reality, even though we know it's all an illusion. We still have to face the reality and be real, not play. Not a play world, it's for real. So please, we have to acknowledge that. So our children no longer have to hear about someone else's history, but just his history, you know, like their history. But also he has to know of his own history and culture and ancestors and, you know, from the beginning, from the time they can point to things or can be recognized what's right and what's wrong, and can say mama or daddy. They should be taught, and told about the truth, about their history, told the truth about their history. And inshallah, that's what we, our aim and purpose is, and that's what our intentions are all about. Our intention is about telling our children the truth nowadays, and also letting them have the right understanding, even though we may know in the different school systems or even in the different homes, they may be told one thing about the statue that they see, which is supposed to be who they call God, Christ. A lot of them say, I believe that Jesus Christ was God. But then we pose the question, especially to the children, for them to think as well, when we say, God, close your eyes, and when we ask you, what do you see? Do you see God? And if you do see God, what does it look like? You know, because we know there's no image of God. We see his works. When we start with ourselves seeing God's works, the creator, because he created us. We are part of his creation. And if Jesus Christ was God, then and was killed and nailed to the cross, you know, a crown of thorns on his head and arms stretched out with nails in his hands and his feet crossed at the bottom and legs crossed at the bottom, rather, near his feet. And he's nailed like that. And they say that he died. That's a lie right there. Because anytime you nail somebody like that, do all that, that they say, then why? How could you possibly say that he was killed? How could you possibly say he died for you, you know, for your sins, when you know that you killed him already? You know, why would you have to kill him, you know, for someone else's sins? Or kill him and then say, which is not true, that he died for your sins. You know, you think about that. And let your children think about it too. Explain it to your children. Let them think about it too. Also, when you they teach you in from coming from the Bible, don't get me wrong now, I'm not criticizing the Bible. I was brought up that way too. You know, but when they also say that Jesus was hung on the cross, but he asked the question, which was, God, oh God, why have thou forsaken me? If the man on the cross, who they say Jesus, was Jesus and supposed to be God, then what God is he calling on asking that question of? Why is he asking somebody else the question, God, oh God, and calling him God when he's supposed to be God himself, you know, hanging on the cross there. God, oh God, why that was sacred to me? So come on. Our children, you may think they've been used and being duped right from the beginning. They're taught that. That means even coming from our mouths as parents or grandparents or adults or teachers in the schools or whoever else, whoever may have Sunday school, those who push the children like that, they're starting off right from the beginning, trying to dupe them, trying to just confuse them, you know, lying to them, not telling the children the truth right from the get-go. And that's wrong. They have to answer for that. You know, they have to answer for that. Whomever is accused of it, whoever, the person who knows that they did this or said this to the child, then, you know, they know they're wrong, and they have to answer to God for it, have to answer to the Creator for it. Excuse my pronunciation of words. I had dental work done, and it's not so easy for me to get used to this. Inshallah, it'll be all right. I'll come together. I'll pronounce my words as clear as possible. Okay. And why also would a Caucasian male be picked as God? No. It doesn't matter what complexion of the skin it is, but it just so happened that it had to be had to be the Caucasian, you know. So why would they pick the Caucasian when our Creator created many, many male children? Why they like complexed ones, you know? And in the Vatican, though, we know there in Italy that they do have a statue of who they call a black Jesus. You know, so that shows you right then and there, nobody knows. Nobody knows. I remember they banned the picture of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it was being shown in the movies. They it wasn't long after that they banned that one. You know, we just happened to get a DVD of it. You know, you're able to keep it, show it, have it movie night, and show that. You know what I mean? So we can know what happened there. We can critique it and say, who has a picture of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You don't have a picture. So that right there, you know, so many things we can go back and check ourselves to see if it was the truth or was it not the truth. You know, and we should do that. We should take that initiative and be that appreciative toward our Creator to want to know the truth, the real truth. And it's in the books, you know, just do your research. We can only tell you but so much because we only know so much ourselves. We are still forever researching. So we share with you what we have and what we have found out, what we've learned, but still all that we have not learned as yet. You say that you can take all the oceans and even add some. And take the pen, use them as pens, and all the oceans as ink. You can still never run out of the knowledge of El-Islam. So that should tell you something. Seek cradle, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave, from here to China. That should tell you something too. All of it is not just right here in the United States, or right here with us in our homes. Thank God it is in some of our homes, you know, and in our locale, you know, our communities. Thank God, thank Allah, that it is there, but some places it's not. So we have to still continue to search, still continue to do our research, and pray to Allah to bless us with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of what we read, regardless of where it's coming from, whether it's coming from the Bible, coming from the Quran, coming from the Torah, which you don't see too much anymore. I don't even know where to buy one now. But we can go to different places and do research and use different books to do research from. Take time, sit down and read them. You know, make out your test before you even get started reading and the questions that you're trying to look up and find out. You know, find the questions to the answers to the questions that you've already wrote down before you get started. You know, out of your curiosity or out of your search for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, just write them down before you open the book to start reading it, and then you can go along and it's like open book test to some. Then you can go along and find out for yourself what you can. Pray Allah to bless you before time, ahead of time, with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of what you're reading. So you can pass it on. You know, we have so many scientists in our communities, millionaires, scientists, kings, queens, all of the above. But we don't acknowledge it. We don't acknowledge the what we have. And we don't, I won't say make use, we won't utilize the knowledge that's being shared from these different ones with these different with this different knowledge. And they are willing to pass it on, and some of them do pass it on. But are we willing to absorb that and remember it, hold it, work out gray matter, hold on to that knowledge, and then bring it out and use it when the time is right for it to be used, like when teaching our children, like teaching the world's children, you know. We don't discriminate. That's one of the things that Allah has put on us as his part of his creation, especially the mothers, to take care of his precious children. You know, do what we're supposed to do for the precious little ones. Because the mother, number one, the parents, I say the father, so he plays a very important part, but the mother, number one, you know, is the baby's first teacher. So we Allah blessed us with that. So we are responsible for that. And we have to obey, hear and obey, and do our best. That means we have to continue to study, too. You can't just study a little bit and then throw it out there to the children, expecting them to be knowledgeable as much as they can be, as much as they would be, you know, if we would just keep it going, keep it moving, keep it moving, keep it going, keep it going, keep the teachings going. And now we can see we need to do that due to the COVID, you know. We had to start teaching our children from home. And they try to make it difficult at first because they said the parents could not homeschool the children because they didn't have the degrees and all that kind of stuff that they needed. But then they started, parents got smart. They have some classes now that the parents can take and get their certificate or proof that they qualify to teach their children from home, which they do anyway. They taught them from home before they even started going into the kindergarten and pre-K and all that, you know. They just wanted to try because all been doing it, you know. I don't care what the complexion of your skin is. It's been done, and it is was being done way back then, you know, teaching from home, teaching a child from home. So we can just sharpen up on that. Okay, assalamu alaikum again, and I see her goes, no, she's not, oh yeah, Sharifa, this is Sharifa on, if you are, push 1 on your phone receiver, please, push 1, Sister Sharifa, our brother, Muhammad Sharif, could you please ask Sister Sharifa if she... Okay, Sister Sharifa. But Muhammad's pushing his button for you. Are you using his phone? One. It's okay, whichever one. Just let us have it, sister. Let us have it. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow. Assalamu alaikum. Wow. Alaikum assalam. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you. We can hear you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought I see a number that looks sort of kind of like yours on here, but I said, no, that may not be because we went into that the other night. But it just has the same prefixes, but the rest of it is not your number. So I said, no.
Oh, right. I was getting ready to call in, and I hadn't called in yet. So that's why I'm on my husband's phone. But I'm going to switch over because
then,
I was
when you get
looking up the name of some of the African-American women who were some of the first in computer science.
Okay, that's good for the Black History, covering Black History part right now. Okay,
yeah.
Then we'll wait for you to do that, and we'll go on with other things. If anybody else has anything to contribute toward what they call Black History Month, Black History Days, Black History Years, so whatever. Someone else, my daughter, bless her heart, she's sending me in some information from Malcolm X for Black History. So I'll check that out. They're trying to seem like eliminate all of, I don't see anything, there's any book yet about Imam W.D. Muhammad, unless I skipped it, unless I just haven't heard of it yet. Nor do I see one for Elijah Muhammad, unless I skipped him. Missed that one, and I don't think so. I know. Got to get. Forgot to bring that book out. It's a light shining from the east. Okay, I see you, Sister Sharika. I see you. Okay, we're going to call you back now, Sister Sharifa. Well, let me see who that is. Let me see. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's you. I picked the right one. Okay. Turn your phones down if you got two in the room. Turn your phone volume down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now, what do you have for us, Sister Sharifa? You want to start with you since you were the first one had your hand up.
Oh, okay.
If you're ready,
I wanted to just read. It's just very brief about the first African American woman who is the computer programmer.
Yes. Okay. Go right ahead with me. Share with us.
And I'm reading from Google. The terminology that's used there was the first Black woman computer programmer. It says, in 1981, Deborah Washington Brown became the first Black woman to earn a doctorate degree in computer science, then part of the Applied Mathematics Program from Howard University. A year later, in 1982, Marcia R. Williams further integrated the field when she earned her doctorate degree in computer science.
Mm-hmm. So that's all the African American women, and they started with the computer science, it seems like, in the early years. So.
Oh, and here's something else I wanted to read, too, briefly. It says, who was the first Black female scientist?
Okay.
And this is a biochemist. And it says, Dr. Marie Daly, D-A-L-Y, was the first African-American woman to receive a doctorate in chemistry in the United States. After she earned her bachelor's degree in chemistry from Queens College in 1942, Daly completed her master's degree at New York University in only 1 year.
Mm.
Okay. So, and she was the first black female, what'd you say,
to receive a doctorate in chemistry in the United States, right?
Okay, okay.
Okay, and I said, may I read about one more?
Okay.
Do you have time?
Ma'am, please do.
Oh, okay. This one says, who was the black woman who helped NASA?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so you probably heard her name.
No, go ahead. A lot of us haven't. Right.
Okay. It says Mary Jackson at NASA.
Mm-hmm.
In NASA's early days, African-American women computers played a vital role in advancing its missions. In 1962, they helped send the first American astronaut into orbit, John Glenn. Among them were Mary Jackson, Katherine Johnson, and Dorothy Vaughan. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'll stop there then. Okay.
If you got others, then you can go on.
Okay.
If you got others on there, you can go on and we'll just cut it off. You have a certain amount of time. Sure. Yeah, we can give you your time.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Okay, this says, when computers were human, the black woman behind NASA's success. And it says, Annie Easley, Easley, hired in 1955. She became a programmer when computers became machines, honing her skills in programming language.
Mm-hmm. Okay, taking notes, you know.
I think,
okay.
I do have something here about Dorothy Vaughan. It says in 1943, Dorothy Vaughan, a 32-year-old high school mathematics teacher, started a new job. She became a grade P1 mathematician, helping with the wartime effort at Langley Memorial Aeronautical Laboratory. As the prime aircraft test facility of the National Advisory for Aeronautics, NACA, Langley was racing to make combat planes fly further, faster, and less fuel. To process the deluge of data from wind tunnels and other experiments, Langley needed number crunchers. It found them in human computers. These mathematicians were all women. To a recent executive order banning racial discrimination. Okay, and then I lost the rest of it. I was reading it from my cell phone from Google, and that part of it was lost. But I'll read this part then about Dorothy Vaughan. She was born in September 20th in 1910, and she died November 10th in 2008. And she was born in Kansas City, Missouri, and she died in Hampton, Virginia. And she's listed as an American mathematician and computer programmer who made important contributions to the early years of the U.S. space program
and who was the first African-American manager at the National Advisory Committee for Aeronautics, NACA, which later became part of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Okay, I'll stop there. Thank you.
You want to stop? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you have, well, who was that you just, what was her name now you just said?
Dorothy Vaughn.
Okay.
It's Dorothy Vaughn. Her last name is spelled V-A-U-V-H-A-N.
H-A-N. Okay. All right. Okay, then. Let me see who else was here. They've got someone. I see someone else here that's got someone. He's been on a... I'm like, okay, that's you. 312. That's you.
Right. That
okay. Okay, and that's your husband's right there. Okay. Okay, my daughter just sent me something, too, from Tennessee about Malcolm X. And we want to just stay on this for 1 second, because this is, we know that every day is Black history. You know what I'm saying? And Black history is wrote. But we know we want to just reiterate something in case the children are listening or somebody's listening that don't know much about our history and the people that contributed toward our history, you know, making it possible for our children to learn and know the truth. Then we want to focus on that for a minute. You know, I mean, we came on, well, we can get it. We can give it at least another 15 minutes. You know, I see other hands up and want to come on. So I think we can give this another 15 minutes to, and then 8 o'clock, we'll take a break from that and go on to something else, you know, like a current event or something. But right now, if we can just focus on for this next 15 minutes, well, 10, 12 minutes on the Black history. Some for the children.
Okay.
We need to do that. Yeah, we need to do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can go on if you have anything else, sister. If not, then we'll get someone.
Okay. Well, I do have another woman, African American, who also made a great contribution regarding flight. Her name was Katherine Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Katherine Johnson Coleman, also known as Katherine Goble, G-O-B-L-E. And she was born, it says, in 1918, August the 26th of 1918, in White Sulphur, S-U-L-P-H-U-R, Springs, West Virginia. And she died recently, February the 24th in 2020. Oh, she lived a long time, alhamdulillah.
Yes, she did.
What,
did she? Then what was her invention? Right. So
then
what
was
she known for?
She was a mathematician. And an American mathematician who calculated and analyzed the flight paths of many spacecraft during her more than 3 decades with the U.S. Space Program. Her work helped send astronauts to the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
what
I remember. That's
mainly known for.
Right, that's right. Absolutely. She sure is.
That's something good for the children to know.
It is. It sure is, Sister Sharifa. It sure is. Well, thank you. We're going to, we thank you for your time. We're going to let somebody else speak on the, now when I open your mic, please speak on something about pertaining to the Black History Month. Because if you don't have that for me right now, then I'm going to ask you just to hold on until we pick the other person to see if they have something specific to talk about the Black History Month. Because it's for the children now. This is for the children mainly, and a lot of older people don't know either. They don't have either.
you know, that knowledge. So we want to give the people a chance. Okay, we'll let somebody else in right now, Sister Sharifa, and you can just stay open, or you can push the one and go back out, and we'll know.
Okay,
you can
I'll
stay
push
in.
The one.
If you want to contribute something to somebody else's conversation, you know, that's good too.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll just put it on mute then. Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
Just put it on mute. You're welcome. Okay, let me get this one down. Okay. Yes. You speak your name and where you're calling from. This is area code 240. And the last four numbers is 1963. That's Suja. Is that Brother Suja?
As-salamu alaykum.
Okay, wa alaykum as-salam, Sister Quran. We talking on the Black History right now. We got about 10 more minutes. Going to expound just on that, you know. This is going to be our focus for right now.
Okay, this has to deal with Black History. It might not go too long. I'm just going to take a minute. Only thing I want to know is that why? What, let me talk. Suja, let me talk, please. All I want to know is, and I was just thinking, why? And this is doing Black History now. I just said, why is it that basically we are the only people that celebrate our history? I like to know about other people's history too, and it's time for to have more the world history. But that's all I want to know. I said, why is that? Why is that we the only one? Children will ask that question too. Because I'm putting myself in a child. Because I will ask that question.
Okay. Why is it that we celebrate Black History and no other history, you say, month?
No. Why we celebrate? Nobody else don't have no history day. No history day or nothing like that. But I like to know about
Chinese. You know what I would say about that? Is that,
yes, ma'am.
This is my input now, okay? It's because we hear every day, all the time, in the history books, the world history, as well as U.S. history, it tells about other people and not us. At least, you know, alhamdulillah, whosever decision it was, have put aside 1 month for us, 1 month for the African Americans. And we do hear about their people, their history and other people's history besides, and not ours, all those other months. So they were, and we say we appreciate it and thank, and we could have a history about ourselves 365 days of the year, just like others do. You know, and not just narrow it down to 1 month out of the year, which sometimes can be a short month for 28 days and other times a short month for 29 days, but not 30 or 31. Now, that's my intake. I mean, that's my input on it.
because I like to know about the Indians was here. I like to know about the Indians. They was here already, you know.
And then
the so-called slave master. I like to know who really was the slave master. I mean, everybody said
too.
They had a part. And so
those
I
are covered
like to
in
know
the books
those
too.
Things.
Those are covered in the books too, Quran. They're gonna tell you who the slave master is.
No,
I like to know
about their history. I'm not talking about what they contributed to us, but I'm talking about
their history.
That's their history.
That's what Black History covers. It's what the African American contributed. So that's the same thing that's covered by the others at any given time, all the time in U.S. history and in world history.
Black history then is American history. And it's not Black history, then that's American history. If everybody's included, that's
you're not
listening. I understand what you're saying, but you're right, and I'm basically right too, because you're saying what you're saying, but I'm saying I like to have, why is it that they don't have Caucasian Day or either Indian Day? You know, that's what
because
I'm saying.
Because they have it every day.
Oh, they have it every day?
Every day. The history books, like I just mentioned, the U.S. history, it's every day. When you go to school, you're going to learn about them. The U.S. history world history touches a little bit about everybody, the world history. Okay? And then they do have Chinese history. You know, like you know, in every town, New York City and different other places, they have Chinatown. And they tell about their history.
I'll get to why they have a special day. Do they have a special day aside? That's all I'm saying. Do they have a special day aside?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Well, you need to know that because I sure like to go and see what they're talking about on their day.
Okay.
Okay.
Look it up. You know, I know you. I know you. You're well rounded, and so you can look that up, and for your own.
I'm gonna look it up. I'm gonna look up Chinese Day, Indian Day, or Caucasian Day. I'm gonna look up that day.
I don't know about Caucasian. They may say homosexual.
No, they don't say homosexual. Because all people.
No,
all
I didn't say sexual. I didn't say sexual. Oh. I didn't say homosexual.
What'd you say? What did you say?
I was trying to get out Anglo-Saxon and Homo sapiens and stuff like that. That's what I was trying to get out. But I told you I've got digit mouth in my mouth. I have big digits. Digits are making me slur. But anyway, yeah, they got all those people. Just look them up, and then, you know, they got history about them.
I'm
going to
look it up. Thank you. I am. I'm going to look up the
day. It's emphasized, but ours is not. African-American history is not focused on or emphasized all year round, unless personally it's coming from families, individual families. But as far as our children knowing it, well, you know that for yourself. As far as our children knowing about it, what do they know about it? Except for the month of February when it's recognized as Black History. And then they may learn a little something from their teachers in school. But other than that, we don't get it. They only touch on it lightly in high school, even about the slavery and stuff like that.
But
just a little bit, not a lot. They mention the name, they won't go through the inventions and all. Yes, what, Karan?
What I was going to say is that to show that how anytime there's falsehood, you know, it falls. Because just like your husband said, there's no Black people. So they start off with a lie already, talking about Black history. And Black is not even a color, but that is, there's no such thing as Black people, like he said. So already they start off with a lie. That's what they're saying. Ain't that something?
That's the way they
don't
see it. They call it
already. So something is wrong
right
there.
They call it the way
there.
They see it.
So, but then, no. It's still a lie. A lie is a lie.
It's
I don't care how nobody see it. That's
it's
right.
It's a lie, but you say, but
the world's
you
not flat.
Want to know why is it? Okay. You know, because God didn't make any Black people. God didn't make any Black people. He didn't make any Caucasian people. Right. Didn't make no Black and no whites.
That's right.
God don't,
there ain't no white history.
Didn't make that.
Yeah. So why they ain't saying white history then? Why they ain't saying white history? We got to be Black history. Everybody got to be Chinese, but we can't be African American history. We got to be Black history. Why they can't say white history then? That's what I'm
because
talking about.
Because that's what they're used to calling us. Because they're used to calling
then
us.
But it's a lie. That's because it's a lie. We should always practice the truth. You know what? I had wrote something down. Anytime you lie about something or, you know, some falsehood would always fall. That means that it's not going to go nowhere. If they don't tell the truth, it's not going to go nowhere. And our children are going
to
wake up to
that. That's why we got to write our own history. That's why we have
That's
to write
right.
our own
and,
history.
And we shouldn't honor nothing. We should change that. We should change that from no Black history. I said, what happened to African-American history?
That's going to help a lot of people. If you leave it there, that's going to help a lot of people start looking it up and get curious about it now, see? This is the wrong time to drop it. You know, they should have dropped it a long time ago, Black history. You know, instead of say Afro-American history. Some people don't like to be called African-Americans because you have – a lot of people are not Afro. They're not – come from Africa. They're Indian backgrounds. They're all kind of we're made up of all different colors. We don't know a lot of times what we mix with.
If they're not African, then it doesn't refer to them. They don't have nothing to worry about. Then it doesn't refer to them. They only refer to the African American, those that honor that. If they don't honor that, then it doesn't refer to them.
Come on.
That's
come
all
on,
that
come
is.
Come on. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, right.
I'm
right,
just telling
right.
the truth. I'm telling the truth. That's all. Tell me I'm a lie.
We may not. No. We ain't going to go there now. What I'm saying is about Afra, you say. If those that are not Africans or Afro-Americans or whatever, it's not pertaining to them, okay? You'd be surprised how many people don't like to hear us call ourselves Afro-Americans because they say, well, y'all didn't come from Africa. Y'all not Africans, you know, but we got it from our ancestors. But we're not, though, originally from Africa. None of us, most of us were born in Africa. A lot of us were not.
Where are we from then? Where are we from? I like to know.
A lot of us were not born from Africa. A lot of us, were you born in Africa?
No, but they said the African American.
Do you want to be called Afro? It's all right for you to be called Afro-American?
Then we should be called, we should be called Americans then. There ain't no such thing. We should call America just like. When they call you Americans. We should be called Americans. You know, they have certain countries, they have dark people and light people, but they don't call them black Indians or black or Asian. They just call them Asian.
They call brown people. Have you noticed they started calling people the brown people and light brown people and all that kind of stuff?
I'm talking about us. I don't know about them. I'm just saying why.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking. So, you know, that's all.
Yeah, that's what they're doing now. That's what they're doing now.
They.
Yes.
We're supposed to say we. We be still letting them label us. We're still letting them label us. We don't even know what, we even don't know who we are. We can't even say who we are. We got to, what you say, Mr. White Man, what you say we are? Oh, we are black. I said, okay then. Yeah, so both.
You know, we have to, we're not going to sweat the little stuff. What we got to start doing, too, it's not that it's not respected. Everybody's opinion should be respected, you know, whether you agree with them or not. You know, everybody's opinion should be respected. And they do respect whether we agree with them or not. But the fact of the whole thing is, let's be real. You know, let's be real with each other. We're not going to sweat the little stuff. We're into big, big stuff now, you know. And those people have been teaching us his history all these years. His history all these years. And not...
Listen.
I'm not challenging each other.
Mm-mm.
What we're doing is sharing.
That's right.
Okay, we're sharing. So therefore, what I'm saying is we have been taught his, you know, like his, H-I-S, her, H-E-R, you know, them, H-E-M. His history all these years. That's what we've been taught. And it's 365 days of the year when you're in high school or when you're, whether you're in college or whatever. And they have the books, you know, that is there's wrote in. Okay. You're not taught Afro-American or African-American history. All 365 days of the year, or any other whole time, all throughout the year, you know, you're not taught it. You're just not taught it, and it boils it down to the Afro American history in February only, 1 month. That's 1 month. Like I said, 28 days some years, and 29 days others. Okay, so we have to up the scale a little bit, you know, climb a little bit higher, think a little bit higher, you know.
Indians have a history. And they call them the natives. They call them natives. Native Americans. Native Americans, okay. The Indians are called Native Americans. They've been in the history books for years. Native Americans. They are the natives of America, the ones that were here when America was first built, or when America was first organized or given the name of America. Indians have been the first ones known to be here, even though they say a lot of the Indians were darker skinned and that the African Americans or Afro Americans were really the first ones here when Christopher Columbus discovered America, which he thought he had discovered,
they don't teach that no more. Chris Columbus haven't discovered America because that they was here. When he came here, people was here already, so he didn't discover
this
America.
That's what I just said.
Well, yeah,
did they change
and say he was the first Caucasian that set foot on the American soil? He was one
about America's Vespucius. You're talking about America Vespucius now. That's how America got his name, America Vespucius.
I know that he was, when he came here, people was already here.
People, of course. So that means that nobody discovered it. It was already here.
And you got to remember that Christopher Columbus did not do that. What happened was that the Jews, that they turned that boat around and sent that to South America. Christopher Columbus, people was already here when Christopher Columbus came here. They even had Moors here. The Moors was here. They had black people was already here, right down here in Louisiana. So that's why I said we really got to get our history clear, because they lied. See, once you tell one lie, then you got to tell another lie. You got to remember that. Once you tell one, you got to tell another one. That's right. So that's the truth. That's why I guess we have to have our own history, because the white man done lied. He done lied so much. They said people was already here. The Moors was here. The Indians was here. It was already here.
And then you know what, too? Even though you said the white man has lied all these years, they might have lied all these years and not told the truth because they didn't want it out there. But so also we, some of us ourselves, picked that up and adopted it, and they lied too. Because they don't know no better. And then when somebody tries to share with them, they feel it's a challenge.
And that's why we got to start using the word black. Because there ain't no black folks. Show me a black man.
Well, Imam W.D. Muhammad said a long time ago to get away from the word black. Imam W.D. Muhammad taught us that a long time ago, get away from the name black. Calling yourselves black. He taught us that. What did Suja say?
May Almighty God make our struggle easy for us.
That's right. Huh?
Black and white.
Get on the line.
Just using psychology.
Yeah.
It's not no identity.
He said it's not no identity.
It's psychology.
It says psychology is not no identity.
Right. That's right. I mean, an individual, we all God's creation. We're part of God's creation. We're one of the critters. We're part of the creation. There's no black. No white.
Right. Under the law.
Yeah, we share knowledge. That's what we're to do. Share knowledge. If you know something, you know, share it with us. If I know something, I share it with everybody. And that's how we learn. You know, that's how we learn. Put it together. We will we'll know a lot. And we pray to a lot of really for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. like if you're saying something, I don't really understand what you're saying, you know, or somebody else may say something and it sounds okay, you know, but I don't really know. I'm not in full grips with it right now. So Allah, please bless me with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of the correct, you know, correctness of this particular thing that I've learned or that has been shared with me, you know, because there's no reason for us to challenge each other. We really all, you know, come from different parts of this world or this United States, you know, and we live different, walk different walks of life and live different environments. But we put all those together, you know, and we tell each other about it. We share it with each other. And that's how we learn. We don't come toward it challenging each other. You know, we want you to learn from what I say, you know, and not to feel that it's being anything to criticize or to say I know more than you or nothing like that, you know. It's just we're sharing. I see another hand. Let me go on with something else. It's 8:15. Okay, Karan? Can we give some chance? We'll come back, okay?
Oh, yes,
we'll come
ma'am.
Back, huh?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm okay. Go ahead. I'm okay.
Okay. Thanks for your input. Okay, let me get this right. This one right here. Was it this one? Or this her. This. Suya. Okay. Brother Muhammad.
I'd like to say something after that person says something.
Okay.
Did you?
Okay. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad.
Wa alaikum assalam. May Allah peace and blessings on everybody in this queue. And we thank Allah very much for giving us permission to be a part of this message of concern and how it affects the children of the world, and specifically in our sense, since we're the host of the program, how is it affecting the Muslim children of the world and the psychological effects that makes us have, and how do those affect the children of the world in other ways of life? Because we know the world is watching Al-Islam, a way of life that has been ordained by Almighty God Allah in the books of Allah. So we don't want to get distracted and forget that everybody know that there's one God, or they know that something it has created them, etc. And it has finally come to light by Allah himself, by establishing and giving the world the Quran, if they want it. Number one, as far as what y'all was saying, there's never a conclusion, because we're dealing with false identities, false events in history, and even the people that we think that we have a contact with or connection with, we have to remember we accept them, but they don't accept us. When I say us, I'm talking about the Muslims. The Muslims here in the United States of America are not accepted by their own, what they say, their people. And we should be mindful of that, because we should be satisfied that Allah has blessed us to accept them as our brothers and sisters in creation, not of faith, but in creation. And there's nothing that anybody can do about that. We are connected, because Almighty God Allah, the Creator, has created us, and the division that we are suffering from, we also know, is by Allah's permission for Shaitan to test us and see our loyalty and what to do with our free will. And now we're in this program here now trying to make sure the psychological effects, all of this division, all this confusion that we are standing in the middle of, how do we protect our children first? Allah says, save your own souls first. And when Allah say that, he's saying the Muslim parents and the Muslim individual, save your own soul first. Then save your loved ones, your children, your mother, or anybody else who is connected to you. And then the world will see the spread of the fastest influence in changing the human being back toward its creative nature etc. And so our children are listening to us talking all the time, those who are by law submission, and all of these divisional titles and names and occupations and things like that. You know, we shouldn't even be involved. If our leadership said leave color alone, leave racism alone, leave this alone, leave that alone, following the example of Allah, the creator of the Quran, and Prophet Muhammad in his last sermon, then we that's telling us to spend as little time as possible on those subjects, because none of them are correct. They are evolving into more division, more hatred for one another, and death and destruction. If you think you're black, then you are, look at the time zone when that was used as an influence from the shaitan to make us hate each other and all these other names. Now, we got free. And when I say we, I'm talking about Muslims, because of what these labels have identified as, and we're trying to get away from it. We're trying to get away from the gravitational pull of shaitan and all these many identities that he has given us, and that none of them are true. There ain't no black man. There ain't no white man. There ain't no Chinese, Japanese, all these people, and then you got the African, the Can people, then you got the Hispanic people. He's got on every level a scheme that is psychologically Satan to an unprotected, innocent mind of a Muslim child whose parents have not given them what they needed to defend themselves from the whistles of Shaitan and people who have seen benefit in propagating that whisper, because we are not teaching our children firmly and clearly who they are, their caliphs, where they come from the creator of all worlds, etc., etc. Who is their leader in their day and time of these last 100 and so years? It's Prophet Muhammad. Then in these clubs, it was the Ali Elijah Muhammad and Imam W. Muhammad, because the immigrants that were over here have already been a victim of this divisional, and in their mind, they see benefit in it. Even this Guy example is of just a couple of days ago, right there in Atlanta, Georgia. One of our imams has been invited to come to the immigrant masjid, not to tell them about our contribution to Al-Islam, but to tell them about what black they done labeled us to. They done put us in the category of blacks and African Americans, and we're Muslims talking to, supposed to be Muslims talking to Muslims. But they wanted them to come and speak on Black History Month. Can you imagine that? Those of you who live in Atlanta, Georgia, the immigrants in Atlanta asked a Muslim slave of African descent to come and tell them not about our Islam or the history of our contribution or our life that we have experienced through the life of the Ottoman Elijah Muhammad or through the life of Imam Warabi Muhammad. They made it clear they wanted to talk about what is black contribution to the black history in the United States. Another example. A imam from out of Norfolk, Virginia, went to Australia representing Imam W. Muhammad after Allah called him back. So they picked up the engagement. I don't think Darnell Kareem went. Okay, yeah, he didn't go. But anyway, the imam, Bernie Faree, picked up the banner and went to Australia representing Imam Muhammad to keep that final engagement that he had that he didn't get a chance to meet by Allah's permission. And then people had Vernon Faree deviate from his agenda of representing Al-Islam, the Quran, Allah, and Imam Warabi Muhammad, of what Imam Muhammad was going to put together as a presentation if Allah had blessed him to make that engagement. He spent his whole time over there talking about Malcolm X. Not El Hajj Malik Shabazz, but Malcolm X. He said very little. They didn't want to hear about Elhaj Malik Shabazz. They wanted to hear about Malcolm X, all the college students, all the few high schools that he went to, and all the dignitaries over there in strife. They wanted to hear about that. They want to keep us in the path of our divisional intellect. Our mind hasn't came together until we come out of Islam. We did not come one mind, and we're striving to become one soul, and we still haven't accepted one community yet. And you can imagine when we look at history, how many sects of al-Islam has came out of the 73 that Prophet Muhammad has already told us about. Because they have had children. They have children. They have had children since that time and that prophecy. And they have had doctors, scientists, lawyers all over the world. And evidently, since they're not trying to help the Muslims here in America, especially the Muslims in the community that you've been worried about, trying to help us establish al-Islam, unless it benefits them, that says a whole lot that we need to be mindful of. Now, in this talking about black history and still labeling ourselves something that our leaders have told us to get away from, Prophet Muhammad has told us to get away from, and even our own selves tell each other that, but we still say it out of mouth. 1 minute, what they say, what is the sign of and we'll put some mercy on it, of a person who is hypocritical, is when they say one thing and then they go do another. We say we ain't black, but then still we come back and write the next phrase out of our mouth, I'm black this, I'm black. We identify with it. We still have Muslims or people of different other religions who are trying to get away from the same thing that we're trying to get away from, still refer to us as niggas at some time. Woodson, who started Black History Month. He died as a devout Christian, a devout person, though he contributed much to the world by Allah's permission now, not his. He ain't went nowhere and got some knowledge out of the ground or out of the air. Everything that all of us get when it comes to knowledge or anything else, it comes from Allah, and we need to remember that so that we won't follow in the devil's footsteps, what might be using the language of the world. It might be a black man. It might be a brown man. It might be a white man. But we're still in the footsteps of Shaitan. And we have to mind, because this day is set aside. This day here is set aside for the psychological effect of what Shaitan is doing. He ain't asking nobody but the Muslims. He already got everybody else. We need to protect and educate ourselves and our children into having no doubt about it. This is the best way of life as a favor from our Creator, Almighty God, Allah, the Creator of everybody. And the best that we can do is to save our own soul first, or get our own soul together, according to whatever language you want to use, if we want to help anybody. Now, Savior's Day. How long are you going to continue when someone come and ask you, okay, I hear y'all having Savior Day. Who's your Savior? Are we going to tell them Master Fraud Muhammad? Are we going to tell them Ahmed Ali Muhammad? Are we going to tell them Imam W. Muhammad? Are we going to tell them Prophet Muhammad? Or are we going to tell them Jesus Christ? Or are we going to tell them Buddha? Or are we going to tell them Allah is our Savior of every human being and everything in the existence of our intelligence, because he is the Creator of it. We have 2 days, and we have good people on this program. And Allah, with his mercy, has told us you need to spend some time on your children and what the psychological effects of what you're going through, what the world is going through, since you have not yet embrace al-Islam. Since you have not yet come together as one soul, one human being, and build a halal environment.
Yes, ma'am.
Where people only do what Allah say do. And make it possible that anyone who wants to worship their Creator will have that opportunity. But first, our children. We got to save our own children first, because they the ones who will save the other children. They're the only one who's going through the first grade, the kindergarten, the third grade, the fifth grade. They're going to school with other children. If we teach them Al-Islam, if we teach them that Allah is God, if we teach them everything that they need to know, when they talk to their friends, they'll tell them, I'm not black, I'm Muslim. They ain't going to say after the movie, they're going to say, I'm Muslim. And then the kid will say, well, what is a Muslim? Then they'll be able to teach what we have taught them and not let them see us denying our own existence with all these many names that we have and all the many names that other people have. They're going through the same struggle we're going through. We're just in the leadership role. And Allah has told us that we have the intestinal fortitude to do it this time, inshallah, if we keep the faith. And talk about him, the creator, talk about his book, the Quran, and his human example for all people, not just men, for all human beings, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he also made another concern. He said, I will raise one from amongst you every 100 years to reinforce your consciousness that you probably be done lost it. Because Shaitan be on his job. He ain't waiting on no 1 month or 2 months or whatever. He ain't even thinking about nothing. He's thinking about killing the faith of the human being so he can say, I'm better than him. So let's prepare our children. And not let us children hear us dickering and baggle over false history. There ain't no black man. There ain't no Savior's Day. There ain't nothing we have experienced except La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Dar Rasulullah, that is real. Everything else has been contaminated, perverted. That includes the books of Allah that came before the Quran. They are not in the original text. When we ask the Lord and teach our children to ask them about for everything that we need, is the only way we're going to get out of this smoke that we're in right now. And we're human, and we think, but we should not let Shaitan make us try our own patience with each other. Because in your heart, you'll develop a stain. We'll develop a stain for each other. Because we all are lost. And we get mad that everybody trying to pretend like they ain't lost. But we all are lost. We'll know when we are not lost anymore. We will come together and establish a halal reality for our children. Not for Allah. Allah don't need it. But Allah wants us to save our own soul so that we'll save our loved ones. They're the one in danger. Like that dragon laying down there at the womb of the woman waiting to devour her children. That's who we got to get on the job about. If not for the other 5 days, at least on Tuesday and Sunday, this is for the children. This is not the time for us to discuss our intellect or what we know or what we don't know. This day has been set aside by Allah because only this is only happening with Allah's permission. The message of concern and the psychological on the children of the world. Let's spend time. Quit talking about it. Don't let these devoted Christians, because Allah deal with them. That goes for Woodson. That goes for all the great leaders that we know. But you just look into Google and Google how many Muslims scientists we have from the United States, how many doctors like Dr. Akbar, Imam W. Muhammad's brother, Chaplain Muhammad, the first Islamic chaplain. He is the only Muslim in the Encyclopedia of the United States of America. He is the first Muslim chaplain for the United States Armed Services. How many people know that? Everybody know that Muhammad Ali is the greatest, but do they talk about him through Black History Month? They give a hot, short sentence. I'm talking about our people, the so-called people we call Black in Africa. They don't talk about Ali like Muhammad. They don't talk about Imam W.D. Muhammad unless they have to or there's some benefit in it. To preserve this 30 days of exploitation. This is the real word of black exploitation. And I don't care about nobody knowing because it's the truth. Black exploitation is Black History Month and Savior's Day. And we're so scared to even approach them, we don't even know how to approach them. That's what we need to be focused on. These are the psychological things our children are trying to figure out. They're trying to understand what the hell is wrong with Umi and Abby, or Daddy, or whatever you call it. Then, like I had a Muslim scholar. Grandson run up to him and called him Papa. What kind of stuff is that? A Muslim scholar got his grandchildren calling him Papa. An old, degenerate Italian name.
Mm-hmm.
As an identifier of his relationship with his God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have, there's a lot more okay. that we need to do in closing. On these 2 days, there's nothing else. The other 5 days of the message of concern is for us having the opportunity to share with the adults of the world. Truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And the symbols, the images, the false stories, the false identities, anything that's false, it's our job to share with them how they can free themselves. And we spend time in preparing, not just at 7 to the 9 o'clock at night. We should spend Tuesday, Sunday, all day long talking to our children about them being Khalifa and why they are now Muslim, why they are now black Muslim. And show them the schemes of the Shaitan so it'd be a natural inclination for them not to accept falsehood. Accept it.
Okay.
Just want to say that.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. Thank you, Brother Muhammad. Alaykum as-salam. And Shuja wants to come up next. But can I say one thing before you come up, Shuja? Brother Muhammad asked a question. I don't think you want to ask the question because she hadn't come up yet, but he had asked a question and mentioned, and I wanted to respond to that. He said, he mentioned, we know that we're taught to save yourself and then your family, okay? And we all know they'll understand that. But then he also said, yes, and he asked about what's Black's contribution in America. Okay. Am I right? You say that, Brother Muhammad? What is a Black's contribution in America? Brother Muhammad.
He don't remember.
I had it on mute.
Okay.
No. My intention, I might not get it all out. I was saying, you went to Google and see how many Muslims of African descent here in America who came over here Muslim, because that's our history. Don't you know, like I said at the beginning, and make it short, there's no telling how many of us, if we go get our genealogy checked out, we might find out that we are related to one of the Muslim tribes or Muslims that came over here as slaves. And that's our history if we're going to do it. Do like everybody else doing. They're doing research. There's nothing stopping us. Of African descent Muslims in America to go and trace our history back.
Brother Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am.
It's almost time to wind up if somebody else wants to speak. But I just wanted to know if you asked that question. And so I see you were asking that question, but it was into your conversation. You didn't really want an answer for it. Okay, gotcha. Okay, gotcha. Go ahead. And thank you, Brother Muhammad. Thank you. Okay. And you say also, you say they wanted to know about Malcolm X, but not his Muslim name. Okay. So, and a lot of the children can't even say, you said the immigrants,
a lot of the immigrants can't even probably pronounce his the name that he chose for himself or whoever gave it to him, the Muslim name. So they figured that they could get everybody to understand what they're talking about if they say Malcolm X. I would just boil that down to that, you know, keeping it simple like that. This would be one of my answers to that, would be why they say Malcolm X and not Malik Javad. Yeah. Okay. That's what I would say. Okay. I'm done with that. Okay, Brother Suja. Go ahead, please. Thank you, Brother Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah. I'm going to first say I seek refuge in Allah against the rejected Satan, the enemy. And I bear witness that there is only one God, one creator. I say God because I'm talking to English-speaking people. Teaching the children starts off with, they teach the children A, B, C, and D, E, F, G, all the way up to Z. And they teach them the numbers. 1, 2, 3, you know. That's the fitra. And that principle is the basic and is standard. So in teaching the children, we have to see what the world is talking about. You know, and we have to teach them to understand what the world is talking about. You know, and this is one of the reasons the Imam taught us the way that he taught us. He taught us like we was children. Anytime you go to the beginning, that's the way you teach a child. It's from the beginning, and you teach them the basic, fundamental. The children understand that. And also the children understand high knowledge. They understand tech knowledge. You know, if you know how to teach them. The Imam taught us the meaning of allegory. You know. That most of the Quran is talking to us in allegory. So the children got to know what does allegory mean. When I'm here, and how I'm gonna know what is allegory? You know, an allegory is using a picture story to convey a message. Like Joseph. Like the story of Moses. The story of Lot. All those are allegory. The children got to know that. When they're teaching allegories. And we can't say, don't teach them. Let's keep teaching them 1, 2, to 10. Or A, B, C to Z, and just teach them that only. No, you got to teach them what the world is presenting and what they got to confront with in the world. You got to break things down to them where they can understand it. And believe me, when you teach them and you teach them right, they understand it just as well as you do. Or even better sometimes. Simile. What do you mean by simile? What do it mean by they got all symbols and signs and different things like that there. We had to teach them what they are. Because they use this in the scripture. snakes talking. Jesus walking on water. We had to teach the children the meanings of these things, and they'll learn more about it where they'll be able to teach us about it because they're going to study it. You know, and this has been taught before about the psychology of white and black. It's been taught. I know every time I can't possibly teach about it, I try to teach about it at least. That white is not a color and black is not a color. The imam said that we should deal with the strategy that they are using. That Shaitan is using, we should address that. And the strategy on white the Caucasian peoples, they got the color white. And Master Farhad Muhammad is one of the persons that are instrumental and us picking up the color black. We use the color black. It's not our identity. It's a strategy. It's not an identity. It's a strategy. So we picked up the strategy using the strategy of black, and we had. The world listening more to the strategy of black than they listen to the strategy of white. It came so strong. We was using it so strong that the strategy of black just overpowered the strategy of white. It's not an identity. It's a strategy. We use a strategy to get the attention and have the people believing in what we are saying using the color black. And the Caucasians, they use the strategy of white where they could get the people's favoring and believing into what they are saying. But it's not no identity. So that exists. You can't say, well, no, it don't exist. Don't use it. That's all they're using right now. Okay, just only use a certain thing. No, you got to be able to understand the strategy and be able to address it. You know, I remember the imam said in reference to people talking black superiority. He said you had to be careful and talk because they was using it so strong. He said, you had to be careful talking about your superiority because then somebody can turn around and show you your inferiority. Your inferiority. So that's the reason. We know that it's not true. We know allegories is not true. We know similes is not true. But we use it. to convey an idea, convey a mess to the people. They say a hint to the wise is sufficient. That's not no sentence. It's just a few words that they put together, you know, and it's supposed to be conveying a meaning to you. So don't downplay, or let nobody downplay the storytelling, the allegories. Don't let nobody downplay it, because it got good meaning. And a child like a story. I mean, I see that on some of these programs, in these movies and different things, where the child say, "Mommy, tell me a story, so before I go to sleep, tell me a story to put me to sleep." it don't mean a bad story, but it's interesting. A picture story. It don't have to be true, but that picture story can convey such of a high impact, where the person really believe that the good people is the one that wears the white hat. The good guys wear the white, and the bad guys wear the black. You see? So Master Farah Muhammad turned around and made blacks superior. Jane Brown got in there and talked about black power. So we got to understand the sciences, and we got to understand the figuratives of speech, and how they use it. The children got to pick it up and be able to learn how to implement it and learn how to apply it, where they can question it, where they can know whether or not it's for real or not for real, especially using these different little machines and different things they got. They got to be able to figure out. You know, the child can figure out a code. They can use code and figure it out. So I'm gonna close it down. Excuse me for talking so long. But black is not, and white is not, an identity. It's not real. It's only real in the sense that it's conveyed a message. But it is not an identity. And I don't see where, nowhere soon, we're going to stop using white and black. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Thank you, Brother Suja. I understand very well what you're saying. I'm sure we all do. Does anybody have any questions for anybody that has spoke or read about anything, or any questions at all that you would like to ask? It's getting close to the hour now, and my husband will, when the time comes, he will close out for us. But it's now 10 minutes to 9. So we have until, I'll say, 9 o'clock. You know, 10 minutes if anybody wants to say anything else. I enjoyed the show tonight. We had good input, participation also, which means input. And if anybody has a last minute remark, whatever that they would like to share with us, please push 1 on your receiver, and your mic will be open and you'll be brought to the queue. If you don't have anything, then
the respect and the manners is if someone don't raise, if nobody, if a person doesn't raise his hand, or if a person doesn't push one on the on his telephone receiver, then that's an indication they doesn't want to say anything, just wants to listen. And do our respect, that's what we will let you do, listen. But if you have a problem in your of getting in, of pushing one and still being called on, then that means that your mic has not been opened when you push one. So if you can call 404-452-3312, and then we will be able to open up your mic or let you speak, you know, if you would like. Now that is if you would like to speak and you're having a problem pushing one and your indicator coming up that you have something to say, then that means you can call 404-452-3312 and we'll be able to open your mic and you can speak. If you have anything else, have anything to say. If not, then we will give you that respect of not even calling on you because you didn't indicate that you want to say anything. And it's okay to listen, even though we do like participation. But go ahead, please. Someone want to say something?
Oh, assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I forgot to mention something when I was reading about Katherine Johnson.
Okay.
That when she was a child, that by the time she was 10 years old, she started attending high school.
Really? At
10
years old?
At 10 years old.
And she was what? Who was she now? Johnson? Okay, this is surgeon.
She was one of the mathematicians that contributed a lot to calculating and analyzing the flight path for the spacecraft.
Yes.
For the astronauts.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I remember she was running to get that formula to the astronaut station so they could take off. Yeah, I remember that movie they showed too about her at one time.
Alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yes.
Go back.
I got a granddaughter. She can read a sentence, and she can comprehend. She got good comprehension. She read it and tell you what it's saying.
Okay.
She explain to you exactly what it's saying.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
And
reading
that,
comprehension. That's good. She understood what she was reading.
Yeah, that's I think that's what the sisters are saying, but the girl had 10 years old. But the way that they knew that she was on another level is let her read some things that it was hard to comprehend. I mean, for the hard way to comprehend, and she can explain it.
Yes, they probably took an IQ test on her too. 10 years old. That's good. A lot of blessings when he sees in the way, please. Yes.
Lahu Akbar for your granddaughter, Brother Shuja.
Yeah, I will bring her back on that. She can read and she can comfort.
How old is she now, Shuja? She's nine. Oh, she's nine. Okay.
She's nine. And you had to stop her. Because if she be our other children, she always trying to explain things to me. Just the way you do it.
She's going to be
be a leader. She's gonna be a leader before she be a follower. Huh?
You had to let her know. Let so and so do it the way they want to do it. You know. So.
She's gonna be a good leader.
Yes, inshallah.
She wants you to understand what she's saying, so she's gonna explain to you.
Yeah.
And understand what she's instructing for you to do, because she's gonna tell you this is how you do it. Yes, Lord.
She know where everything is. She know where everything is in the house. You ask for something, you run and go and get it.
That's good. That's what you call making use of your surroundings. Because you know where it is, where to go and get it.
Yeah, my mother used to put everything in the same place.
Mm.
That's how I learned from things that are in the house. Because my mother put certain things in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes she get on us about things. I wonder how she know.
Because you didn't put it back in the same place.
Because I didn't put it back in the same place.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Yeah, they bless their souls. They taught us a lot.
Bless their souls.
Yes. My grandmother raised me, and I tell you, I was always on my toes. Always.
I thank Allah much.
Okay, I thank everybody for coming on, and I enjoyed tonight. I enjoyed the participation and everything, and the good input too. Good input. Agba, could you close out for us, please? Time. You're already okay. Okay. Miss Julian.
On this prayer that we offer, please restore all Muhammad to me and the greatest. Please elevate Muhammad to the most exalted place. When thou hast promised him, when thou never breaks thy promise. Oh Allah, please continue to bless us with good in this world and good in the next. And please keep us away from your hellfire.
I mean. Thank everybody and be safe. And we're, inshallah, the sisters won't be back on until Sunday night. But we did good talking about the children tonight. We haven't done that in a while, but we did focus on them a little bit more tonight than we have been from a minute there. And it's good that we're back on them, because this particular show on Tuesday night and Sunday night is the focus on the children. First, we were talking about the virus and all, and how the school was, how they were being affected, you know, by the school and all that kind of stuff. So, and now we can expound on them. We can do the first part of the show, focusing on the children, and then the second part of the show, focusing on current events or something else. That would be good. I really would like to get that done like that, because we have to cover them. We got to cover STEM school, and everybody, please tune into Brother Imeen's website, Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School. See what he has. He's got a line now of a little store along with the STEM School advertisement. Nice showplace, you know, demonstration there with the STEM school, the planets he's got up there, and you push on the planet and it'll open up and tell you something about it, some information about that particular planet. So now he's got things that he's selling, products from the Mars Cares on his website. So please patronize. We are grateful for the brother in helping us to get this done. And we are too, we want to try and write a book. So if anybody at any time wants to give me any kind of input from any particular program that we have had, please just ask me for my email address, and I'll ask Brother Imeen if he wants to give his email address, and we just give your input, you know, by email, you know, or 404-452-3312, and you know Brother Imeen's telephone number. So, well, you'll get it from Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School. You'll get his number and website there, his number, his email address, and all when you just go on the site, Sister Claire Muhammad STEM School, please. You see Brother Imeen information. So be blessed, everybody, and it won't be long before Ramadan will be coming in, so we have to prepare ourselves and get ready. Get ready. We pray that this Ramadan will be the best Ramadan that we've had. Things are looking up and looking better. They want to know where we are, what the Muslims are doing. We're doing a plenty. We're working in our own area, and that's why maybe a lot of people don't know about what's really going on, but you will, inshallah, you will. So take care and be safe. And we love you all. And please come back. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.